Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Joe, joined only today by Anthony Dittmar on Twitter. That is at Anthony Dittmar _. You can find me on Twitter at the Joe Farrow. So, we don't have Cody tonight, but we do have a game to recap. An ugly one. Isn't that right, Anthony?
I mean, it was a fun game. I feel like you weren't a fan of either team because you had like Durant going off, you had Tatum going off. It was like 30 lead changes. Like from that pure entertainment standpoint, it was great. And if like the Nets are on a big run, like they were like winning 10 out of 12 and doing nice things, they'll be like, oh, you lost that game and hats off to Tatum, yada, yada, yada. But when you lose when you lose 17, you lost 20 games, there's no silver linings. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Yeah, it was definitely rough towards the end. I have a funny story from the game. So both of my cousins are big betting guys. So I told my one cousin earlier in the year that the Nets are like terrible against the spread. Like they never cover. And so he took the Celtics before the game even started. And I told him, I was like, that is a stupid bet. He took the Celtics favored, but like they had to win by 7. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not a good bet when you have KD and Kyrie on the other side. So I told my other cousin, I'm like, yeah, take the Nets live line because they were plus. So he took Nets plus 3.5, and neither one of them hit.
Unreal. Oh, my God. That's a bad beat.
It was terrible. It was like – it was a 1.5-point difference, and none of them hit. I was like, oh, my God, that's terrible.
That is really bad. I feel bad for the guy.
They were both so torn. They were like, oh, how does that even happen?
That's rough. Jeez. Yeah, I honestly, before you want to jump into this game, did you see the major injury news about one of our former Nets?
Yes, Jared Allen, right?
Suffered a fracture in his left middle finger. He's out indefinitely. And the Cavaliers they've been not playing well lately. Like I think they won the other night, but like them and the Raptors really haven't played good basketball. It's outside of the Raptors back-to-back wins against the Nets, they really haven't played that well. Like, if the Nets are winning games, they would probably get a good chance to catch the 6th seed at least. I know Boston's been on fire, so I don't think we really caught them. Yeah. There'd been a world if the Nets played 500 ball. They'd be in striking distance of the 6th seed right now, but I think we live in a world now where I think we're locked into the play-in. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm starting to think.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely in a similar spot. It's just hard to watch at this point. Like, they're not able to put anything together, and it really is just frustrating.
It's just like we're always waiting. It's like we finally got clarity on Joe Harris. So as shitty as that is, like how he's out for the year, like at least we know now, so we can keep worrying about what if. I kind of knew like if we didn't know by like this week or next week, it'd be like kind of like a done deal, which is what happened. But like with Simmons, it's like he's not gonna play. He's going to this Philly game Thursday, but he's not gonna play. He's not even practicing yet. Like it's like 17 games left. Like he's gonna come back. What, 10 games left? Is that really a lot enough for a guy that sat out every game this year? He hasn't played since when was the playoffs last year? Like I know it was a little off. Actually, it was normal playoffs. It was like May.
Yeah,
May. It's March. It's been 10 months. He hasn't been in a basketball court in 10 months in game action. And we're expecting him to throw him out there with like this team and just expect everything to work. I get like God-given talent and defense-wise, it's just a lot. And then the Kyrie uncertainty, it's just, I'm starting to lose a little bit of hope. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm trying to be a real fan. That's how I'm at right now. I don't know what your confidence level's at. Mine's at like a 3 or 4 right now, just considering all the insinuating circumstances. I don't know if we're going to get a Kyrie resolution. If we don't have that, like it's not looking good, especially if they play Toronto in the play-in, no matter what. If we're on the road, he's not playing Canada, even if we do get a resolution.
Yeah, and I mean, we are the 9th seed right now, so we would have to win 2 games.
to make the playoffs. And one of them, this second game, we might not have Kyrie.
It's crazy because if you're like in the 9-10 play-in, would you want 10? Because like if Kyrie can't play, like he'd be available because like yeah, I think you'd rather be in the 7-8 scenario regardless.
You could yeah, but then what if Toronto loses the game of the 7-8 and then they host?
Well, I'm saying if you're locked into 9-10, like no matter what, like you can't move up to 7-8, I think you'd be rather in 10 just because you wouldn't – like if Kyrie couldn't play the home game, you'd rather want 10 because you're like no matter what, if you win, you're playing the loser of the 7-8. So like it doesn't really affect – like, if Toronto loses, it'd be a bad situation regardless. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would –
I think I'd rather be in the 7-8 scenario regardless just because, like, you could afford a loss because anybody can lose in the night. But it's –
yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Who thought we'd be in this scenario going into this year, right?
I don't know. But as Nets fans, we should have seen it coming.
I mean, no. I would have expected, like, them to, like, underperform with, like, a 4 seed maybe. Like
– yeah.
Going into the year, considering we had like those three guys, like it's just been a wild ride. It's really, really been one of the wildest seasons in terms of like how we felt going into where we are now. And it's just, I don't know. I don't see it. I hope we get a happy resolution, but it's going to be a tough, tough ride. And it's probably, if the Nets want to win, they'd be the first team to win, to lose more than 7 games in a row. They'd be the lowest seed ever to win the championship. There's a couple other stats I saw. I think they're another under 500. So I think they'd be the first below like 40 something win team. It's insane. Like it's really insane right now.
Yeah. It's like, it's just so unpredictable. And it's like, that's the NBA for you. I mean, everybody says there's no parity in the NBA, but like this season is a prime example as to how there definitely is. Like, yeah, it's like the number one or two seed, like the 1 through 3 seeds usually like take it home every year, but it's like, they're all different teams. It just varies. Like it's pretty wild to see the position that we're in right now. And these podcasts have had such a damper on them recently. And I don't know when we're going to get more of a positive attitude towards it. Because honestly, like, I don't want to just be the guy that's like, oh, the Nets are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. But, like, we don't know that, you know? Like I also don't want to be too hard on them or, like sugarcoat our expectations. But, like, I can't see us doing much of anything right now.
Yeah, with that in mind, I guess, you want to we'll jump into the recap of the Celtic game?
Yeah.
I'll give us a little rundown of the game. So they had a Sunday 1 o'clock matinee. It was like a lot of excitement going into it because the first time Kyrie and Durant like got on the floor together since the January 12th game against Chicago, where all three of the four big three played together. But this game was very fun in terms of, like from an entertainment standpoint. Like we were saying before, like it was back and forth. You had Tatum drop 54. You had Durant drop 37. Like it was like honestly like a masterclass by both. A noticeable trend that continues is that the Nets can't guard the three-point ball. It's really like every team has their best shooting night. I think it's some of it has to deal with like bad luck, but some of it's like got to close out on shooters. I think Ben Simmons usually like a matchup like Tatum if we had him play. I saw LaMarcus Aldridge had a pretty decent game. He had 14. Bruce Brown has really been playing well since the James Harden trade. He's a respectable three-point shooter. He's slashing well, playing good defense. He had 16, 6, and 5. So looking like the Bruce Brown of last year. Kyrie Irving did struggle. He did have 19, but really wasn't much of an impact. He looked a little lost in the offensive end, a lot of bad turnovers and timely possessions. It really was just one of those games where you felt like you were trading passes to Celtics all game, but you just felt like in the fourth they were going to lose it. And that's just really couldn't hold strong at the end. It couldn't make timely shots. I kind of knew it was going to Durant every possession. Andre Drummond kind of didn't play too well in defense. Yeah, Nick Claxton did look good in defense, but kind of didn't do the best towards the end. They didn't really play him. He had Patty Mills only take 2 shots, which I thought he would take a little more after his hot game against Miami. And just, I thought Seth Curry could have got involved a little bit more. He only took 6 shots. And I felt like, I don't know if it was just because of his ankle, because he went into the game probable, but I felt like he should have more of a role with this team. But overall, just another crushing loss. And we did lose Cam Thomas mid-game to an injury. We'll go over that more in the injury report once we get to that. But yeah, wasn't the best. But Kevin Durant did join the 25K point club. So I guess it's something to be happy about, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. That was a fun moment just to see him reach that threshold that not many others have. And it's awesome to see. Like, we're just watching so many of the greatest players of all time right in front of our faces. And it's just like, it's awesome. This era of the NBA can be stacked up against any other in terms of star power and just pure talent.
that's going around the league. Yeah. Kevin Durant's amongst the top of all time.
100%. He's even mentioned, he's like, I should have been a part of the 30K point club already, which he's honestly not wrong, because he did miss, I think, one full season with the Nets. He's missed a lot of time in the last 2 years besides his Achilles year. And I'm pretty sure he had a season in injury in OKC, if I remember correctly.
He might have had a 1 year that was shortened from injury.
I know 1 year in Golden State, he missed like the second half of the year, I remember almost.
Because it was the Thunder.
He played 27 games. 2013. Yeah. So, yeah, he could have really been a 30K point club.
Like, yeah, I mean, for his career, he averages 27 a game, which is amongst one of the best ever. So, everybody knows Kevin Durant's one of the best pure scorers the NBA has ever seen.
Yeah, that's 2,200 points averaging per season. So, yeah, if you miss like 2.5 seasons, that does make sense to be at 30.
Yeah, yeah. Guy's just a beast, and that's nothing new to anybody, but still got a marvel in it while we can. You know, when Nets fans aren't used to this type of pure dominance from one player on a nightly basis.
100%. Is there anything else on the Celtics game that you noticed that you wanted to like talk about?
I don't know. It was just frustrating down the stretch. It really was. It was just like nobody can guard anybody. Tatum was getting a switch onto LaMarcus Aldridge every single possession and just taking it to the hole. Or if he was lined up against anybody else on the outside, he would just size him up, take a little sidestep, and knock down the three.
Or Seth. He kept getting Seth, too, on him. I don't know why that kept happening. I was like,
he was getting LaMarcus and Seth, like, every single possession. He was just torching them. It's just like Tatum, like, even, like, Kyrie was on him a little bit. Kyrie held his own pretty decently, but it was just he would get caught up in a screen, and then he would end up on LaMarcus Aldridge down low, and he would just blow by LaMarcus for a layup, floater, whatever he was doing. But Tatum couldn't miss. The guy was on fire.
Yes, 450-point game in the regular season. He has 2 in the playoffs. I was going to mention that, yeah, Kyrie kind of looks lost in offense, but the Celtics really are a great defensive team, and they're much better than last year's team. I don't know what really made them change so much, but I guess Rob Williams' jump, Grant Williams has been a better player this year too. Like Al Horford, I guess, back in that locker room. And just like they can switch on anybody. Every single level of switching between Smart, Tatum, Brown, Horford, and Williams. It's like so hard to like find the mismatch when you're on offense. And that's like to like get a lot of screens, get some mismatch action. There really isn't a lot that they could do when they face up against Celtics like that, especially against their starting unit. It's a better Celtics team, I'm not going to lie. It looks like those teams are from the conference final era. And you have a guy like Tatum and Brown, like everybody wanted to split them up after like 1.5 bad years together. Like these guys are both under 25. Jalen's been to 3 conference finals and Tatum has been to 2. Like it's not like – you got to give them respect where it is. And like they honestly – the Nets – starts me the most. The Nets can't out-talent teams anymore. When they had the big 3, you could. With just 2 guys, like most teams have a formidable 2 at least in the East, like in them, the top teams in the NBA. So you really, it comes down to more than just being better on offense. They got to clamp down on defense because they went from elite at the beginning of the year to like one of the worst ones now. Like, I know you regression to the mean, but like you can't regress to the bottom of the league.
Yeah, no, it's definitely rough. It's been a long, long fall from the top, as they say.
Yeah, it's been like a 2.5 month spiral. So hopefully. We'll keep saying hopefully, but we'll see. Like we'll just jump into the injury report, I guess. So tomorrow's game, they already announced the injury report because it comes out mid-afternoon. Cam Thomas is out with that back injury he had. LaMarcus Aldridge is out with a hip contusion. Ben Simmons is still going to not be practicing. He's going to be with the Nets against the Philadelphia Sixers on Thursday. This is for Tuesday's game, but I'm not sure if he'll be there for the Charlotte game. He'll definitely be there in Philly because I know he wasn't with the team in Boston.
Yeah, I think he said he's making the trip to Philly, so I don't think he's going to be there in Charlotte.
I'm assuming he just probably just drive down 95, but yeah. Aldridge, I don't know how serious his injury is. It kind of came out of nowhere. We didn't really see him get hurt in that game, so I don't know if it's just like injury management. Not really like they can afford to give games now, but Thomas's injury, he came out with his back. It looks kind of bad at first, but he was walking a little better. I don't know what you think about that, but it's
just I mean, it did. It definitely did look bad at first, but then he started walking. He was limping, but like he like kind of like stood up and like stretched out his back a little bit, and then started walking like a lot better after that. But oh no, I really hope that doesn't sideline Cam for too long because he's been integral for this team, especially when Kyrie hasn't been playing and Patty Mills has been struggling. So like we really, especially at this point of the year, we can't afford to lose Cam for a big stretch of games.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. We'll know how more serious it is tomorrow when, like, Steve Nash speaks to the media. He usually does a couple hours before the game. Today was just the injury report, so it wasn't, like, anything with the integral. another team already arrived in Charlotte. I guess they just went from Boston to Charlotte. No point of going back home. Yeah. Tomorrow, it's a big game for seeding, honestly, getting back into that. Like right now, the Nets, I think, let's look at the NBA standings. I know they're like 2.5, 3 now behind Toronto. So that's becoming more and more distant. From if you were considering getting out of the play, and the Cavs are in 6 and the Nets are 5.5 out. Oh my God. Five and a half out from the Cavaliers. So that seems more like a pipe dream, if anything, unless the Nets kind of run the table. I know that they lost Allen and stuff. That's still a lot of games to make up. They're actually technically right now 9th behind Charlotte because they've only played once.
Because they have the tiebreaker on us, too.
They're 1-0 with us. We have 2 more matchups. So if you win the next 2, that's going to be huge receding. So tomorrow's game is huge. If you lose tomorrow, you lose any tiebreaker with Charlotte. So that's another team.
And we've lost the tiebreaker to damn near every team that we're trying to catch. So
we're tied at 22. And we're only 2 games up on 11 seed Washington, which honestly, like, Porzingis played really well the other day. I know they played Indiana, so it was no one crazy. There's no Beal for the rest of the year, but like, you're only 2 games up. Like,
yeah, like, we are 2 games out of not making the playoffs in general with the play-in. Like, that is so nuts.
Yeah, the Wizards are the only 1 back in the loss column. So we played 2 extra games of the Wizards, and we only have 3 extra wins. So they can really get close. Let's not talk about that doomsday scenario, because I feel like we keep real your expectations. Whoever like competing for the 1 seed to like be in the middle of the pack of like the top teams, to like hoping we get like not in the play-in to like the 7-8 matchup, and now we're just trying to make it.
And now we're just trying to make scrape by as the 10 and just see what happens come playoff time.
The tiebreakers. The Nets are 2-0 against Atlanta. So I guess they did win the season series against Atlanta. So that's pretty big, I guess, in that regard. So when it comes to the Hawks, we're in good shape. We just mentioned Charlotte. I think the Nets lost season series versus Toronto because of those last 2 games.
Yeah.
Check.
We absolutely lost because we lost that back-to-back to them.
Did we play them 4 times, though, because they're in division. So I don't know what the second tiebreaker would be. Hold on. It's not coming up. I don't see the other games.
I should have sworn we lost 3 games to Toronto this year, though.
I think we have 1 more with them. I'm trying to check. Just give me 1 second. I apologize.
You're good. Go ahead.
We did lose the back-to-back. We beat Toronto, I think, 1 game in Toronto, I'm pretty sure. I can't find the game. You could go on your thing.
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's like there's a lot of teams that we're trying to catch right now that even if we get into a position where we are finished the season tied with them, like they just hold all these tiebreakers. So it's going to be really rough for the Nets to even gain any ground. At this point, if you're just still trying to get all your guys back and just try to get a little run together, it's going to be hard. Like we really are going to have to try to just scrape by because winning against some of these teams that we have coming up and trying to solidify playoff position is going to be rough. And I don't want to like put a damper on the Nets season, but this is why, like we keep saying, like we're losing faith in the team. Like obviously like, well, if any team with Kevin Durant has a good chance against anybody, but it's like that supporting cast needs to be there, bro. Like you can't do anything without the supporting cast.
100%. So we actually split the 2-2 with Toronto this year. So I'm trying to see what the second tiebreaker is. The second one is division leader wins a tie over a team not leading division. But so division leader, the third one's division 1. So it's our division record would be the second tiebreaker.
Oh,
what's our division record?
Well, that would be who is the other teams? It's us, Toronto,
Sixers, Knicks, and Celtics.
Huh. So Knicks, we have a win against. I think we have multiple wins against. We have like at least 2 wins against the Knicks. I know that. Celtics.
Division record. The Nets are 7-6 in the division. Toronto 7-5. Jesus, really close.
Man.
Oof. So Toronto could be a close one. We're still 2.5 out. So let's like hold our horses there.
Yeah, let's hold our horses, but at the same time, it's a legitimate possibility that we have to discuss.
Nets, Wizards, that's the only other team that's kind of close to us right now. The Nets are 2-1. Oh, no, the Nets are 2-2 against the Wizards. So that's another team that, like, we have to look at the division records. The Nets are 7-6. The Wizards are 6-7. So... Yeah, that's so.
I mean, if the Wizards are getting hot going into the playoffs, and that's how they catch up to us, I would assume they beat some divisional teams to really gain that traction. So
not going to be fun. But
yeah, it's going to come down the wire, it seems, unless the Nets simply just start winning for their last, like, 17 games or whatever it is. But they haven't done it in the last 2 months, so let's see if they can flip a switch.
We will see, yeah. I guess we'll go into the tomorrow's game, big game, like we said. The Hornets, like, don't have Gordon Hayward or James Bouknight. Hayward's the big one, obviously, so I guess – got to watch out. The Nets really have the advantage on tomorrow is their centers. Andre Drummond can really take advantage. Charlotte's are really poor centers. So, like, they really use that advantage. I would love for the Nets to go big. And, like, I saw another yesterday, they did a lineup with Drummond's, Claxton, and Durant. Like, Claxton at the fourth, switching of possibilities can be something I would like to match up against their lack of, like, size. Like, if you want to, like, create an advantage for yourself, having 3 7-footers out there.
But, yeah, and I mean, if you run that with Kyrie and Seth out there, that should create enough spacing to the point where, like, you shouldn't be worried about it. But I think we'll go into picks, right, Ant?
Yeah, I guess we'll go into picks. I think Cody gave us his pick. Cody, I think it's a nice win, right?
Yeah, Cody is taking a win. So, well, and I'm inclined to agree with him. And honestly, I don't even know if I'm picking for my record anymore. I am just picking for pure necessity that we need we need the Nets to really put their foot on the gas and win.
I'm going to go with a win as well because I really don't see – if they lose, I don't know how I'm going to even, like, be able to watch them. Like, I'm so nervous at Thursday's game just for all the slander on Twitter. So I really would like a win tomorrow to, like – make you feel a little better. Not that, like, it would be any better Thursday, but it'd be even worse Thursday. So I'm trying to hedge my happiness here. So I'm gonna go with the win as well. Currently, I think San Joe is 25, Cody with 20, me with 19. It's gonna be tough to catch Joe throughout the rest of the year, but because eventually he'll play defense on us. But we'll see. Hopefully,
yeah, I won't play. I'm gonna pick how I want to pick. I'm not gonna play defense.
I feel you. But yeah, is there anything else you want to discuss? Big week, obviously. We'll talk about the Nets Sixers matchup after tomorrow's episode. We talk about the Hornets game, so we'll get into that a little bit about the whole Harden, Ben Simmons type of stuff. Is there anything else you want to jump on here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anything else that we really can discuss right now. I mean, like, we're just waiting still on Ben Simmons to start ramping up. We have clarification on Joe Harris. We're waiting on the private sector mandate update with Kyrie. And it's like, KD's healthy. Okay, so that's step one. The rest of the stuff has to fall into place. Doesn't seem like it right now. Still, we're kind of in the same boat as we have been for the last couple months. And it's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, which is why all Nets fans are literally insane for expecting us to go out there and just make a sudden change with the same roster that we've been running that hasn't been able to do anything.
Well, same on the court, honestly. Like, so I don't know, man. It's really just going to come down game by game basis. I'm excited. I'm not really good with keys. I'm like hopeful. I think that's where I'm at now is the word hopeful that they can put it all together, get a bunch of continuity together. Like last year, and they had like their guys back for the last like 7 games, was it something? Like maybe 6. Last year, the 3 back when Durant came back from injury. Hopefully, something like that. I do want to see Ben Simmons play some regular season games. It looks like he will. I'm not knocking on some wood, though, because who knows if another setback. I would not like that.
Yeah, real quick. Shams Charania was on the Pat McAfee show today, and he was talking about Ben Simmons and how he's going to start his ramp up soon. And he said he expects Ben to play some regular season games for the Nets this year.
Yeah, I think let's see the schedule. Hold on. If I would guess,
he said it would likely be like at least 2.5 weeks out from right now.
So you look at the schedule right now. No chance he plays this week. Next week, I'd say is a long shot. I would say maybe like.
I would target March 23rd against the Grizzlies for him to play.
Maybe, yeah, that or the Heat game, the 26th, get 3 days off. Yeah. And then it's
a that's where I would hope.
27. Yeah, that would give him like what 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, like 10 to 11 games. I think that's right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. So you get him ramped up, you give him like 22 minutes or so in his first game, and just keep slowly progressing until he hits around the 30-minute mark of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's really what you need to work. You gotta hope that he gets there in that week of Monday, March 21st to Sunday, March 27th. So that's what you really need, because that's a 4-game stretch that week. Or they could
there's a back-to-back that week. The Heat on the 26th and the Hornets on the 27th. So they might look to try to get him maybe in the second half of that back-to-back or the first half, however they want to play it, because they will be at home with possibly without Kyrie Irving on the 27th. So we shall see.
Yep, that's pretty much the whole story of that season. We shall see.
Yeah, just patiently wait. But in all of our cases, it's impatiently waiting. You can't really be patient with all this stuff going on. It's a rough scene for sure.
100%. But that's where we are. We've got to keep praying. Hopefully we get favorable matchups in the playoffs, and the play-in, rest of the regular season, we get some good news. But we
will see. Hopefully. All right, I think that's going to do it. So thank you all once again for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Anthony and Joe. Please leave a like, give us a review, follow us on Twitter, and we will see you tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.